Good morning, Voice of Praise. It is good to be here, and again, I appreciate the opportunity for NR to come and preach. I would say to you, first of all, this is my favorite time of the year. The second Sunday of Advent, my favorite season of the church year. It's a high honor to stand behind the pulpit during the season of Advent. Especially, it's the new year in the church life on the church calendar. And it is very significant to be able to preach and to talk about what God is doing and what God can do and what we're called to do during not only this season but all the seasons of the church year. Advent is in full swing. We're going to talk a little bit about Advent this morning, a little bit later. I appreciate the praise team singing this morning. Two of those songs I requested that they do today. It goes with what we're going to be talking about. And I'm going to share with you the other one and I'm going to try to do it a cappella. And if I get off key and all that, just look over it. But it is an Advent hymn, one of my favorite Advent hymns, as a matter of fact. And it was written several centuries ago by Charles Wesley, and just a very powerful song entitled "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in Thee. Israel, strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born Thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now Thy gracious kingdom bring. By Thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By Thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to Thy glorious throne. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 3? As we talk about this long-expected, long-awaited Jesus, as we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent, Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and I would remind you that as we look around at the decorations in the church, the evergreens that are before us reminds us of life and freshness, vibrancy. The lights that sparkle on the trees remind us of the light of our Savior that pierces through even the darkest of places and brings forth hope. The liturgical color of the season of Advent is purple. That's why I wore purple this morning. It denotes the royalty of our Savior. Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas, being high priests. The word of God came to John, son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. And the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before Your presence giving You thanks and praise for all of Your blessings. We give You praise for the opportunity to be in this place together as Your church, as the family of God, knowing that we come to this place to get revived, to have our hope renewed and even restored. We come together knowing that You are the Lord of all, celebrating the season of Advent, looking with great expectation of the arrival of the Christ child once again into our hearts and into our minds, new and fresh. But yet understanding that the Christ child is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we hope with expectation of the second coming of our Master. Pour out Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Fill my mouth with the words that You would have us to hear. Open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to let Your Word drop from mental assent into our heart with heartfelt believing faith, that it may change us and transform us, for we understand that every time Your Word goes forth, it is a call to transformation. And may we realize it, and may it be so with each of us. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's family said, Amen. Luke, in writing to his audience, gives this passage of Scripture a historical setting. It's not just something he's talking about. It's history, and he gives it a setting. He says, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. It's in the midst of his reign. And then he goes on a little later and says, and the high priesthood. This is when this took place. This is what happened during this time in history. Tiberius Caesar was ruling. And it was during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas. And he said, it's at this time the Word of God came to a man by the name of John, who was the son of Zechariah. It came to John in the wilderness. Now let's pause there for a minute and look at that. The Word of God came to John, a man. The Word of God didn't come to the emperor. The Word of God did not come to the high priest. No, it didn't come to any other high-ranking government official. The Word of God came to John. It didn't come to some hierarchy in the temple. It came to John. John was an ordinary man. And as an ordinary man, and to get him in your mind's eye, he's out in the wilderness, he's dressed kind of funny, he looks funny, he eats things that we might not eat. So somehow he is an unexpected vessel for God to use. It was the Word of God who came to this unexpected vessel of God in the wilderness. It came in the wilderness. It didn't come in Rome. God's Word didn't come in Jerusalem And as a matter of fact, when God spoke this word to John, it did not come to John in the church facility, in the temple. God was speaking to an unlikely person in an unlikely place. And if you think about it, all the way back, even from the beginning, God has acted like this before, hasn't He? God seems to always call unlikely people in unlikely circumstances, in unlikely places. For example, His call to Moses when He was seeking to deliver the people of Israel. He called Moses, who had the excuse of, God, I can't do it because I can't even talk plain. I have a speech impediment. I can't do it. I'm not your vessel. I'm not the one. God's call came upon little David, whose father didn't even include him among his sons that were presented to Samuel for consideration. Yet it was David, the unlikely one, that God would speak through and that God would use. And God's word would come to an unwed teenage girl by the name of Mary. And Mary's faithfulness and obedience would change the course of history as she would give birth to a son. And we would call him his name Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. It was Mary who received a word from God. Unlikely vessel? Absolutely unlikely. And today in our own time, 2019, we still stand in wonder and we still stand amazed at God's call. Because God's call still today comes to men and women, boys and girls who are unlikely. People that we may not expect gets a call from God, and God uses them to transform others and transform the world. Local pastors and ordained pastors alike wonder at God's call. How many times have you heard a pastor stand up and say, I can't believe God called me to speak? Because I don't speak in public. We wonder at it. We wonder at why God calls us and how God could use a vessel such as I. But beyond pastors, what about God's call to the laity? What about God's call to you? Ordinary men and women. People who sit in padded pews Sunday after Sunday. What about God's call to the laity? God's call comes to ordinary people in ordinary places. It's you. And I would remind you, and I know full well, having served as a pastor for a long time, I know full well that it's you, the lay people of the church, who do most of the work in the church. You're it. If it were not for the call of the lay people, churches couldn't exist. You're the people that pastors come from. It's from the laity. You do the work. It's you that God calls. You're ordinary. You're in ordinary places and you have your own baggage or garbage to deal with, but it's in the midst of all that that God continues to call. It was in the midst of an ordinary place that God's message came to one John. And it was a message given by God to proclaim a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of sins. And I don't know about you, there's good and bad news in that. John was to go about the highways and the byways and the hedges to proclaim God's grace. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near upon you. There's good and bad news. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is that you and I are all sinners. And we're in need of God's grace. That's the bad news. We stand in need of the saving grace of God. We are all sinners and we are in need of repentance. And the good news is this. We can be forgiven by God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. It's only by the grace of God that you and I are where we are today. And it's still a valid message. It was a valid message in John's day. It's a valid message today. Our world needs repentance. Amen? Our world needs to experience the grace of God. People from all walks of life, rich and old, poor and young, men, women, boys and girls, all of us need to hear this message. And so God's call through John the Baptizer, an ordinary man, an unlikely vessel, was and still is today a call to prepare for the Lord's coming. That's what brings us to Advent. Preparation for the Lord's coming. That's what Advent is all about. It's a season of preparation. The season of Advent lasts for 4 weeks. Starts the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Goes all the way up to Christmas Eve. There's 4 Sundays involved in that season. Advent means coming. Coming. We prepare during these 4 weeks for the coming of Christmas. That's what we do. That's what we're doing Sunday after Sunday. We're preparing for Christmas. That's why we decorate the trees. That's why we line the altar with poinsettias. That's why we make preparations for all of the other things that we do in the life of the church. We're preparing for Christmas. But yet, even with that said, it's also a time to remember that this Christ child that we celebrate on Christmas has grown up, has ministered, has died for the sins of the world, has ascended into the presence of God who sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me, and who promised, after empowering the church with the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to continue ministry and mission in the world, who promised He would come again. And so Advent becomes not only an expectation for Christmas, it becomes an expectation and hope and preparation for the coming again of Christ. We are to be in preparation. We prepare for Christmas and remember the true meaning of it all. And that's what we've been doing, haven't we? We've been doing that in the church. We've been doing that as individuals. We've been doing that as families. Because in the last few weeks, some of us, and I would say all of us, have been preparing for Christmas in our own way. We've been hanging lights. Anybody been decorating for Christmas at home? We've been hanging lights. We've been decorating trees. We've been shopping, buying gifts. Some of us go to stores. Some of us buy our gifts online and do our shopping in our living room now. But we buy gifts. We've been planning parties, Christmas dinners. We've been planning programs. We've been practicing for Christmas plays. It's all in preparation for Christmas. We've been sending Christmas cards, perhaps. You've been baking cookies and candies and cakes and pies. All of this is in preparation for this wonderful season of the church year, Christmas. We're preparing for it. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy all of that. I enjoy the lights and I enjoy the decorations and I enjoy the hustle and bustle of it all. It's a great time of year. And my favorite part of the Christian calendar is what we're in right now. We enjoy all of that, which goes along with Christmas, but it's not the kind of preparation that Isaiah the prophet was talking about when he said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. He wasn't talking about all of the glitter and glam and decorations that go with our celebrations of the Christmas season. It's not the kind of preparation John the Baptizer was talking about when he went about preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. You see, the type of preparation John the Baptizer was talking about had to do with the preparation of the inner man. He was talking about in here, the real you, the real me. Preparing our heart the very soul, the very core, the very foundation of who we are. It begs to ask the question that John Wesley asked all of his preachers time and time again. He would look them dead in the eyes and he would say, "How is it with your soul?" And that's where John is leading us. That's what Isaiah was talking about. To get us to a place to where we looked with penetrating eyes into the very depths of our being to ask our own question, "How is it with my soul? How is it in my relationship with God?" John's idea and Isaiah's idea and God's call to them and to us involves preparing our hearts. And so on this second Sunday of Advent, the message of Advent is one of repentance. Hearing God's call to repent and to change and to turn. So how is your heart connected to the heart of God? How is it with your soul? Where are you in your relationship to the Father? Have you taken this time of celebration and trying to get prepared to look within yourself? I would caution you that be careful when you start looking within yourself and you invite God to help you look at who you are, because you may see some things that you don't want to see. God may reveal some things to you that's kind of out of place and need to be changed and turned around. You need to be careful when looking within yourself. Because sometimes when we look within ourselves, we get sidetracked and begin to look at somebody else and we say, so-and-so's a good Christian. Maybe I need to be like him or her. Be careful. Because you don't want to make your connection with God the same as someone else's connection with God. You see what I'm saying? You see, my relationship with God, my connection with God is going to look different from your connection to God. It's going to be different from your relationship to God. But my relationship and your relationship, my connection and your connection to God are both valid. They're both important. They're both powerful. And each of us experience God in terms of our own needs. I don't have the same needs as you do. And you don't have the same needs as I do. So Advent is a time of preparing our hearts, our minds, through repentance, through prayer, and through devotion. So don't let the rush of the season blind you to that. It's so very vital to us as the people of God to keep in mind what our season is all about. Don't get blinded by everything that is around us. Advent is a time of turning ourselves toward the God of the universe. This is what John's message of repentance is all about. A turning away from sin and a turning toward God. The season of Advent is about a time of renewing our baptismal covenant. Because when we get baptized into the life of the church, what we're doing is we're vowing before God and vowing before God's people to live a life of rejection of sin and walking in uprightness before God. It's a time to renew that. And a time to pledge to God to be a people that reject sin in every situation and manner and ever however it looks. To be a people who reject wickedness and who desire to walk upright and in proper relationship with God. One of my professors at Duke said it this way, that repentance is getting right-wised before God. And so Advent becomes that time where God, through God's grace and our repentant attitude, right-wises us and puts us in right relationship with God, thereby making you and I the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The prophet Isaiah said, "A voice of one calling in the desert." Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be brought low. The crooked road shall become straight. The rough ways will become smooth. These weeks of Advent are also a time of renewing our hope. That's why I wanted us to sing "How Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, my chains are gone." That's why I wanted us to sing "O come, Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God with us, is our hope. It's a time to renew what our hope is. And if you think about it, we live in a society that is pretty suspicious of everybody else. And my family will tell you, I'm the most suspicious person in the world. I'm just like that. We're suspicious of our fellow human beings. And we often look for the worst in other people. Guilty. How about you? We're guilty, aren't we? That is until the season of Advent comes. And Christmas comes along. Something happens at Thanksgiving to Christmas. Have you ever tried to explain it or think about it? I mean, it's miraculous, really. Because after Thanksgiving, we let our guard down. We let our guard down and we become, we enable ourselves to think that things are a little better than we first imagined. The world's really not as bad as we thought it was. We become willing to see the best in other people. There seems to be something about the season of Advent and Christmas that opens up our hearts and gives us a sense of renewed hope. There's just something about Advent and Christmas. We have a sense that even though the world is in bad shape, there's hope for the world. We have a sense that things can be better than they are. Even in our own individual lives and our families and in our extended family, things can be better. We just get a hope of that during this time of the year. We believe during Advent and Christmas that even though the world is walking in darkness, that there somehow can be a glimmer of light in the midst of the darkness that all of us have experienced. It just gives us renewed hope. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for Him. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight. The rough ways smooth. And all humanity. Everybody say that includes me. All humanity will see the salvation of God. All humanity. Now hear that. All humanity will see the salvation of God. So the season of Advent is a time when we have a new opportunity to affirm our unity with all of God's people. See, the good news of the gospel, the good news of Christmas, is that God sent God's only begotten Son into the world for all people everywhere. All of us. Not just in the United States, but worldwide. God sent His Son Jesus into the world for all people everywhere. We know that up here. Sometimes we forget it down here. And we need to be reminded of that. Advent and Christmas is but a foreshadowing of a world yet to come when our Lord Jesus Christ will reign over all. On the Christian calendar, we get to that once we get to the Sunday before the first Sunday of Advent. If you follow the Christian calendar, the Sunday before Advent is Christ the King Sunday. So you come in full circle from Advent, the beginning of the Christian year, all the way till Christ the King Sunday, where we celebrate the reign and rule of Christ over all. It is a world full of pure hearts, of miraculous hope and goodwill toward all humanity. This is the work of Advent. This is the work of all of the seasons of the church year. It is a work of continual preparedness for you and I to prepare ourselves to meet God. It is the most important work of the church. We do it here so that we can take it beyond the walls. And so let us continue this Advent and through Christmas and beyond to prepare our hearts to receive Christ. If our hearts are prepared, then you and I can help others do the same. And that's the high calling that God has placed upon the church. So I ask you to consider this question. How are you, and you ask it to yourself, how am I making preparation for Christmas this year? Amen. Let us pray. Father God, You are a powerful God. You can do anything You want to do that's in line with Your Word. You sent into the world Your Son, Jesus Christ, to live, to minister, ultimately to die on an old rugged cross, to rise again on the third day, that we might have hope of everlasting life. As we journey through this Advent season and Christmas, we pray that our hearts would be open and mindful to what You want to do in our lives, that we would listen intently to Your call, that we would heed that call and permit You to speak through each of us, that we might change our lives by Your grace. And by Your grace, our families, our communities, and our world would be changed. May it be for each of us. In Christ's name we pray. And the church said, Amen. I'm going to invite you, as you would, to come up. Let's have a time at the altar together. Considering the question, how are we preparing ourselves for Christmas? And how will we permit God to transform us? Would you come?